Jerusalem, don't you cry!
Jerusalem, Jerusalem, don't you cry!
Palestine will never die!
Palestine will never die!
Jerusalem, Jerusalem, don't you cry!
Jerusalem, Jerusalem, don't you cry!
Palestine will never die!
Palestine will never die!
On Wednesday, December 6th, the President of the United States formally recognized Jerusalem as the capital city of Israel, breaking with more than 60 years of official U.S. policy. Why did this happen? What does it mean? And what might happen next? To respond to the urgency of this moment, Unsettled is trying something new, a miniseries. We're bringing you short episodes featuring experts and activists, each with a different perspective on the new status of Jerusalem. Unsettled producer Yoshi Fields went to a Palestinian-led protest at Hunter College in New York City just hours after Trump's policy announcement. While there, Yoshi spoke with Rani El-Hindi, one of the organizers of the protest.
So can we just start by introducing yourself?
My name is Rani El-Hindi. I'm the co-founder of the Palestine Solidarity Alliance of Hunter College. I'm also a Palestinian-American.
And can you tell me a little bit why you're out here tonight?
I'm out here tonight because I'm outraged. I'm very upset about my own president lending even more support to the ethnic cleansing and the occupation and the apartheid system happening in my own country. My grandparents were ethnically cleansed from Palestine in 1948, and the U.S. never did anything about it, never took a stance about it, but it just keeps on extending its own support towards more crimes, and today is just the latest event, you know, of American support towards Israeli crimes. In 1917, Britain declared part of Palestine as Israel, and it gave it to the occupying settler colonial project, so-called Zionism. In 1947, the newly formed UN declared Palestine as Israel and gave away more than half of our land. In 1948, a number of countries also recognized Israel and also gave away part of our ethnically cleansed land. Today, it's a new event, part of the same pattern. But we will still resist, as we have always resisted. And this declaration means nothing to us, just as all the other declarations and all the other events did not matter to us.
Do you still have any family there?
I do not have any family I'm familiar with. My grandparents, you know, when they were ethnically cleansed and kicked out of their own homes, I mean, they were in contact with many people. They had relatives, and people just went elsewhere. You know, I hear from my grandparents that I have distant relatives in Gaza. You know, I also hear I have distant relatives in the West Bank, but I've never been able to see them. I've never been able to talk to them. Because, you know, of the separation that Israel wants to keep on building.
Hey, Trump, don't you know the siege of Gaza's got to go?
Hey, Trump, don't you know the siege of Gaza's got to go?
Hey, Trump, don't you know the occupation's got to go?
Hey, Trump, don't you know the occupation's got to go?
So do you believe in a one-state solution? Is that what you're hoping for, or fighting for, rather?
Well, this decision goes back. You know, it should be a collective decision by all Palestinians. So I'm not here as a Palestinian in the U.S. to say what solution should happen in Palestine, but I'm here to say that ethnic cleansing is a war crime and it should not be allowed, you know, and the illegal occupation should also not be allowed. And I'm here to pressure my own government to not be complicit anymore with these war crimes.
And how does it feel to be here tonight with other people for that cause?
It's great to see the support. I mean, it's always great to see other people supporting human rights, supporting the right to self-determination. And when we see other people being dedicated towards the cause, it gives us motivation. You know, it enables us and mobilizes us to continue to resist and to continue to build on the pressure.
From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free.
From the river to the sea.
I have one more question. This is, I think, probably just more personal for me.
Absolutely.
I find myself, you know, there's like a level of discomfort that comes just personally, like with the chant, What is it, from the...
From the river to
yeah.
the sea?
Yeah, because, you know, at least like how I was taught growing up, it was, you know, that's like very violent, that's Hamas, that's we're going to wipe Jews from the earth. That's just how I've learned to hear it. So I guess I'm wondering if you could tell me what you mean by it.
I mean, I understand your viewpoints and where you come from. I mean, you know, we get told different things growing up, right? First of all, I'd like to clarify that this chant wasn't actually created by Hamas. It was created long before, I mean, even since 1948 when the ethnic cleansing started. And Hamas has been only existing for about 30 years, right? So it has no relation to Hamas whatsoever. That's first of all. Second of all, I mean, I'd like to give you an example. Just as here in the US, we say Black Lives Matter. When we say Black Lives Matter, we don't mean that, you know, people who are not black do not matter. You know, we don't mean to exclude any other racial group, right, or any other community. The same applies to this own chant. When we say from the river to the sea, we're not calling for violence, okay? We're not calling for any harm to anyone, including Israelis. We're simply calling for ourselves to be free. Right? Because that's where we originate from. That's where we were ethnically cleansed and kicked out from. So when we call for our land to be free, we're simply calling for equal rights. We're simply calling for our right to live with dignity, you know, with equal rights, with a democracy. So I'm pretty sure calling for a democracy should not actually make anyone feel threatened. Instead, it should make them feel mobilized to partake in the movement. You know, people are easy to jump to conclusions. People are easy to label others. People are easy to create false accusations. I mean, you know, as a Palestinian, I'm always falsely accused of being anti-Semitic when I have been supporting my own Jewish brothers and sisters for a long time. But I ask people, you know, to be more careful with the labels and with the conclusions that they're jumping to, and instead listen to us, you know, have a conversation with us, learn more, educate yourself, and you will find out that we're simply calling for a democracy.
Is there anything else you want to say? People might, you know, from all different perspectives might listen to this podcast. Anything you want to share with them?
Well, I want to thank you, first of all, for showing up tonight and interviewing me, taking your time. And second of all, I want to encourage every single person, regardless of who you are, to sign our petition asking CUNY to divest from Israeli apartheid. If you go to Apartheid Divest at CUNY on Facebook, you will see all the information there. And I want to encourage people to just keep on showing up, to keep on taking part in BDS. I mean, this is the least you can do here. If you're not being engaged or involved in BDS, then you're pretty much doing nothing for the cause because you're not adding any pressure, right? So we have to continue right here to support BDS and support any Palestinian-led effort in the U.S.
Unsettled is produced by Emily Bell, Asaf Calderon, Yoshi Fields, Max Friedman, and me. This episode was edited by Max Friedman. Original music by Nat Rosenzweig. Get more information and listen to previous episodes at our website, unsettledpod.com. And be sure to stay tuned for the next episode of our Jerusalem mini-series. In the meantime, don't forget to follow Unsettled on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And most importantly, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, to make sure you never miss an episode of Unsettled.